Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing. Relevant. Real.
All right, we're going to be talking about the next, to this probably this month, January. We're going to talk about small things, big difference. Small things that make a big difference, all right? And there are some of those things, so we're going to talk about those things in our life. Small things, big difference. We're going to begin in Luke, the Gospel of Luke today. And actually, when I usually speak, we usually go to a passage and we pretty much stick there, don't we? Well, we're totally going to go away from that today, okay? I don't want to be too predictable. We're going to be talking about the subject of prayer. And prayer is not a small thing, okay? I don't want to give the impression. Scripture says it's a big thing, right? But often in our lives, we know we should do it, but we don't do it, okay? You don't have to raise your hand saying you fall into that category. Okay, but often we do. We know it's important, but we don't do it because there's this to do, and you got up late, so then, you know, we hop in the shower, we grab something quick to eat, and we go off to our work. And sometimes we think, well, you know, there's not that immediate impact with prayer, and so we push it off. And often we talk about making a big decision, right? You ever had those big decisions every once in a while? And we put a lot of importance upon those. But I think life, many times, is influenced much more by the small decisions we make day in and day out. All right? How we spend sometimes those minutes, just those small decisions. An example of that would be if you graduate from high school and you begin putting in $50 a month into a mutual fund, right? What happens, Mark? You'll have money when you retire. How much? Yeah, pretty good, sizable. You'd have retirement taken care of. If you just, that's a small thing, right? $50, starting when you graduate from high school, leave it in there, let it invest it, and you're going to have a nice retirement, right? And what we often do is we put it off until all of a sudden the kids are gone. Now we need to save up for retirement, and you can put a lot of, a month away, but it's not going to equal to what if you just started off with that small thing back when you graduate, and it grows and multiplies and makes a big difference. Prayer is a lot like that. It's something that if we invest in our lives on a daily basis of where we meet with God, it's going to pay off big dividends as we grow and mature in our walk with God. So the first thing I want to talk about is prayer. Prayer is important, all right? And we can say that. And I want us to look at the life of Jesus, Luke chapter 5. That's where we're going to begin today. And then we're going to talk about five aspects of prayer, five ways that we should pray, all right? But I want us to first capture this idea of the importance of prayer within our own lives. So Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Let's begin there. Jesus is just beginning his public ministry, so he's about 30 years old when he begins his public ministry. His public ministry would last how long? About three and a half years, yep, is how long his public ministry would be. All right, so verse 12 of chapter 5 says, While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. All right, so leprosy is skin disease. Often it was kind of a whitish color. It just slowly eats away your skin and gets into your nerves. You lose your feeling. It's a horrible disease. It's curable now. It wasn't curable back then. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face down to the ground and begged him. So he's ashamed. He's embarrassed. Nobody else wanted to touch him. Nobody else wanted to be near him. Most people would throw rocks and keep them at a distance, okay? That's what they did with people that had leprosy. He falls face down and he begs Jesus. He says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Notice the touch. Somebody that had leprosy, Jesus is willing to touch. This could be a message in itself. Jesus touched him. Did he have to touch him? No. He could have just spoken the word, couldn't he? But he reached out and he touched him. And he says, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. His skin was clean. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for the cleansing as a testimony to them." The news spread about Jesus all the more because of the miracles. And so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And then you have verse 10. And what does it say? "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and he prayed." Lord, this morning we just invite your presence here. Come and speak to us and challenge us and let your word speak to us. We give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. You know, Jesus had a lot of important things to do. He had the responsibilities of teaching, but he was also out there doing miracles. Wow. Cleansing people of leprosy, helping the blind see. Those that were demon-possessed, he was setting them free from the demonic spirits that oppressed them. That's important stuff, don't you think? But in the midst of that, the impression I get is from sunrise to sunset, people were finding where Jesus was at and they wanted his time. They wanted to hear him. They wanted their miracle in their own life. And they wanted Jesus to minister to them. Important stuff. And yet, in the midst of this crazy schedule that Jesus had and the needs that were out there, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. In fact, there's times that the disciples would probably get up, have breakfast, and all of a sudden they go, "Hey, where's Jesus?" Nobody goes, "I don't know, text him, you know, I don't know where he's at, you know." They didn't know where he was at. Well, they'd find him, he was out in the wilderness there, praying, seeking the face of God. Prayer was such a priority within the life of Jesus that even in a busy schedule, he took time to be intentional, whether it meant getting away at night or in the early mornings. He found time to get away and spend time with God because he knew that ministry and what he did flowed out of that time and that relationship he spent with God. Now, you apply that to your life, my life. We think, man, I got all these important things to do. Take care of kids, be a mom, be a dad, be at work. All these important things that I need to do. And sometimes those things tend to trump our time alone with God. But if we really want to be the person that God has called us to be, and if we want to be have fruit in our life, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, right, kids? We want the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? If we want that in our life, it's just not going to happen. It's going to come from our time with God. John says in John 15, he says, "You abide in me and I abide in you. You will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." You're not going to bear no fruit. Zippo, okay? It's that connection. It's that time alone with God. So prayer at times, even though it is not a small thing, at times it can seem like something that we can skip. There's other bigger things out there that we need to be doing. But in reality, we learn from Jesus that prayer is a big thing. And out of it flows good fruit. So what is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. I don't think we need to make it any more complicated than that. It is time alone with God and we talk. Just as we fellowship and talk with one another, it is our communication with God. Now it takes different forms and aspects. And that's what I want to talk about. Prayer is not just one thing. Now, sometimes when people pray, they think of what? If you talk to your coworker at work and they said, "Man, I prayed to God," what does it usually revolve around? A need. Yep. I got a need. Something bad happened, and so they pray to God, right? They haven't prayed for, you know, quite a while, but something happens in their life. Marriage falls apart, or the car breaks down. Something happens. And now they go to God with a need, with a prayer. That is one form. We're going to talk about that. But prayer is more than that, folks. It's more than that. So let's look at five aspects or five types of prayer. The first one, and there's five of them, so you got your hand, right? So this is a way you can, if you got a pen, you can write them on there, okay? You don't have to, okay? The first one is confession. You can write that in your program there. Your first one is confession. And so we're gonna look at a few passages, so we're going to jump around here a little bit. Some of these verses, I'm hoping that you commit to memory because they're important verses. 1 John 1, 5 through 9, and the key verse there is 9. Says, this is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with God, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay? So we say we're a Christian, but our life doesn't reflect that we're a Christian and we're doing things that a Christian shouldn't be doing. There's a problem. Okay? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar and his word is not in us. Confession is acknowledging my sin before God, and it should be included in our daily prayer time with God each day. But usually our walk with God begins with a prayer of confession, right? Until we come to a place in our own life where we say, I'm a sinner and I need God, and I need his forgiveness of sins if I want to spend eternity with him in heaven. I have to come to that place where I confess and acknowledge that I've disobeyed God. I'm a sinner. Until you get to that place, really, you can't open up the door for God to work in your life and have a relationship with him, because there's an elephant in the room and it's called sin. Until that rascal is tackled and dealt with, sin will separate us between God, comes in between us. And so through confessing our prayer, it's something that we do when we initially come to God, but it's something that, you know what, it needs to be part of our daily prayer life. I don't know, unless you've mastered the sinless life, I'm not quite there yet. But when I come to God, you know, it might be, God, I didn't have the best attitude today, or God, I let a word slip today I shouldn't have let slip, or I had a bad thought today, God. It wasn't of you. Or I did this, I said this. To confess those things before God. And God isn't going to judge us. He's not going to put us in the corner, right? You have to go sit on the hot seat or, you know. God says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession is important for keeping that relationship between us and God clean and pure, all right? If we fail to confess our sin, sin collects there, and it's like the hallway that has all the stuff in it, and you begin to trip over it, and you get mad, and you get frustrated. It begins to get in the way. Now, even in our earthly relationships, I'm going to use a husband and wife, okay? You know, we have to confess our sins to one another, right? Sometimes we get a little frustrated or impatient and we say something, or maybe we just give that look, or you know, there's ways that stuff happens. Now, and sometimes you do it intentionally, right? A lot of times we do it unintentionally. But in either case, if you just ignore it, what happens? Walls get built up, right? It's there. And it drives the two people further apart. But when things happen, if you confess and say, you know what, I'm sorry, man, I didn't realize I did that. Or maybe I did realize I was just being a jerk, you know. Confession heals that relationship and keeps it pure and keeps it the communication open. Am I right? confession. It also keeps us humble, all right? And sometimes we need that. And so confession is the first prayer. Second type of prayer that should be included in our daily prayer time with God is petition. This is the one that probably gets used the most. And for that, I want us to look at Philippians 4, 4 through 7. We'll actually look at that for the next one too. Paul is writing to the believers in Philippi, which he started on a second missionary journey. It's also a place where he would end his time there in jail for doing a good work, delivering a lady from an evil spirit. All right? And right now he is writing to these believers in prison in Rome. And this is how what he says. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near." So we're chapter 4, verse 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition," there's that word petition, "with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." Petition is making our requests known to God. Now, God doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to worry about things. And many times we do, don't we? We get stressed out. Oh, you know, the car broke down and we don't have the money. Or we have the money, but it... Yeah. I mean, and we... These things come up in our life where we get diagnosed with cancer. Or we have a health issue. And we worry, and we're anxious. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to bring our requests before Him with confidence, with thanksgiving, with joy, but He wants us to bring our requests to Him. He doesn't want us to worry or to fret, but to find peace in knowing that we've brought them before Him. Now, when we bring Him to, before God, Ephesians, also written by Paul, Chris, I'm getting out of order here. All right, let's go back. All right, let's go back to Hebrews, okay? So, making our requests known. So this is what Jesus says in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's ascended into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne with grace," throne of grace, with, what's the word? Confidence. I don't have to go intimidated, feeling unworthy. But Hebrews says, I'm to go boldly with confidence before His throne of grace, that I may receive the help that I need. You know, we think of all sorts of different things, you know. This is happening because maybe I did something in my life. And yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. We make decisions and we make choices. And sometimes we have to bear the consequences of those. But the bottom line is that God calls us to come before Him and to make our requests known before Him. And we can do it with confidence. And when we do, we get to Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, where Paul says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God is able to do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. And so petition, that's right here. This is the second finger. Petition. That I can, first of all, to confess, but also then to have time as I'm coming before God each day saying, what are some of the prayer requests? Well, Susie needs to know the Lord. She doesn't know the Lord, and I know her from work. She's a nice lady, but she doesn't know Christ. And so I pray that Susie can come to know Christ. And I got a big day at work coming up this week, just a busy week, to pray that that God gives me the strength. Karen has the the flu. And so I'm going to pray for my child that is sick, that God would heal her. Those are petitions and those are requests that I can bring before God. And you may find it's nice to have a journal. And I don't, electronically you can do that. I don't know, probably on your phone or computer. Or maybe you just want to write it out. What's ever easier for you? It's good to journal. Why? Because a lot of times we make the requests. But what do we forget to do? We forget to thank God on the other side when He answers them, right? And that's important because the greatest motivator that we should pray is to realize, you know what, God did answer my prayer. And often we can forget that part, that God heard our prayer and He answered it. Take some time just to pray for the needs. Pray for other people in your life and to pray for the needs that God that are in your own life. Number three is thanksgiving, the prayer of thanksgiving. Now, Paul refers to this in Philippians, where we just were at. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So we're supposed to come with confidence, but we're not supposed to get the attitude, "God, give me this, give me that." You know, sometimes we can be kind of ungrateful, can't we? Like God owes us something. God doesn't owe you anything, okay? He doesn't. He's the King of Kings, He's the Lord of Lords. He doesn't owe you anything. And so, but God has promised to meet us and to hear our requests. So if I come before Him, I'm supposed to come with thanksgiving. Josh read that. Enter His courts with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Thank Him for what He has done. And you know what? I've had times in my life where I can get depressed or discouraged. You know what? We get discouraged and depressed because we're thinking about the things that aren't right. Okay? This, 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 and this. But when we're thankful, we begin to thank God for the things that are right. It begins to change our attitude and our perspective. You thank God that you have food on the table today. You thank God that, you know what, I may be messed up this week, but I'm still saved. I think so, all right? No, I know so. I'm saved. It's cold outside, but at least we got hopefully a heater that works, right? To be thankful for the things that are right in our life. Got clothes. We have so much to be thankful for. I think I was telling somebody a week or two ago, I'm going to be going back to Guyana here in February. But when I was in Jamaica, I was up in the center of the island in Christiana. That's where the Bible college is at. And it just amazed me, these kids, they didn't have some of the toys that kids have here in America. But I just got a blast out of these boys that took this cart. It was kind of a wood cart with these wheels on it. And it had the steering wheel, long steering wheel thing. And they used it, I think, a lot of times for transporting stuff to the market back and forth. Kind of like a grocery cart is kind of what they used it. But, of course, they're boys, all right? So they're kind of up on this hill here. And so they, you know, what do boys do? They take it up the hill and they drive it down. They're having a blast, all right? They didn't have much. But you know what? Those kids, they didn't know that. And they were happy. You know, in America, a lot of times we're depressed and we got so much and we're so ungrateful. And at times we don't have the joy because we compare to, well, I don't have what so-and-so has. I don't have. You have more than most of the world has. 2/3 of the world has little compared to what we have here in America. You don't need a lot to be happy, to be thankful, to be joyful. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, "Rejoice always, pray continually." These are long verses, okay? "And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Rejoice always, pray continually. Did you know you can pray continually? Can be at work. You can probably multitask a little bit. And there's times we need to be praying continually. Sometimes there are some heavy things that we carry. And we can be praying in the back of our mind while we're doing other things. For this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. There's a fourth one, type of prayer, and this is intercession. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 6, pertaining to intercession. Intercession is when I'm not just praying for my own requests, but I'm praying for other people, right? I'm interceding for them. I'm praying for them. All right, that is intercession. Paul says in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. All right, so what we're talking about here, Paul's talking about, all right? All kinds of prayers, thanksgiving, petition, and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray for the Lord's people. Verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I speak, the words may be given so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul says, pray with all types of prayers and petition, but also pray for the other saints. You're in Ephesus, but pray for the believers in Philippi and Thessalonica, in the area of Colossae. Pray for them. And also pray for me. Okay, he's in jail. He's in prison in Ephesians too when he writes that. Pray for me that I may fiercely declare the gospel. That is intercession, where we go before God representing the requests of others. It may be for a loved one that doesn't know God. All right? Child, relative, maybe our spouse, but we go before God making our requests known and interceding for them. Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving, so all these we've covered, be made for all people, for kings, all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So you're saying, should you be praying for President Obama? Yeah, you should be. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, or whatever, you should be praying for him. If you've never walked in those shoes of a president and the decisions that they have to make, a lot of responsibility there. You should be praying for them. You should be praying for our governor and our mayor. And the people in charge. That's what Scripture calls us to do, that they may come to know Christ and that we may live quiet and peaceful lives. That is what Scripture calls us to do. When I was in Bible college, we had a prayer room and it was called, you remember what it was called? You don't. Ah. It was called The Gap. Now, that wasn't because they had bought shares into The Gap company. It was called The Gap based upon a passage in Scripture found in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22, 29 through 31. And I know a lot of you really like the book of Ezekiel. I'm kidding. Ezekiel's a good book, though. It's the Valley of Dry Bones is in there. There's some really great things. There's flying discs going through the air. It's a pretty crazy book. But Ezekiel was a priest during the time that Israel was in Babylon in captivity. And they were there because of their disobedience. All right? And this is what the word of the Lord that comes through Ezekiel, what God says through him in Ezekiel 22, 29 through 31. And this is where we get the name The Gap. The people of the land practice extortion. What's extortion? Taking advantage of other people, right? Whether it's through interest or whatever the case may be. Okay? They practice extortion, they commit robbery, they oppress the poor, the needy, they mistreat the foreigner. Okay, social injustice, we call that. We deny them justice. And it was because of those things that God would send them into captivity over several hundred years. Verse 30. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But, what? But I found none. The word of the Lord through Ezekiel says, I was looking for somebody that would stand in the gap for my nation, for the people of Israel, to pray, to intercede, so that I wouldn't have to destroy them. But I found none that were willing to stand in the gap. He says, because of that, I'll pour out my wrath on them, consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their heads what they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Now, God didn't totally desert him. He did bring him back. But they paid a heavy price for their sin. And the word of God spoken through Ezekiel seems to... He was looking for people, the people of God, to stand in the gap for their land and for their nation, for their people. And we can complain all we want about our nation. We have a... As far as nations go, we have a fairly good nation. And we can complain. But you know what? You shouldn't be able to complain unless you've spent time on your knees in prayer. Am I right? If we haven't been praying for those in authority, if we haven't been praying for our nation, then maybe we shouldn't be complaining. Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. He doesn't say if the sinners get on their knees and pray. He says, if my people who are called by my name. That is intercession. Interceding may be for an unsaved loved one. It may be for our country. It may be for a brother and sister of Christ here, praying for their needs. There's the fifth one. That's praise. That's the fifth prayer. And that's going to be the thumb. The Navigator says it's the thumb because it can touch every other prayer. Praise should be involved in all of our prayer. And praise is different than thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is more geared to what God has done. Praise is geared towards more who God is. It has nothing to do with what he's done. It's just that he is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is God. And he, because of that, he is worthy of our praise. And Paul says in Philippians, there's going to be one day, sinner and non-sinner, believer, and everybody's going to bow their knee before God and magnify him. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise. Psalms 150, the last psalm in the book of Psalms, says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens and praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. They like cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise him for what he has done. If I was going to God, and this is how I think a daily prayer life should look like, to begin with thanksgiving and praise, go into my petitions, requests, and to intercede, and then to end again with praise and thanksgiving. And confession can be in that first part as well. Praise is important because it reminds me of who God is and who I am not. And often we can get overwhelmed when we focus on how big our problems are instead of how big our God is, right? And when we can get focused on God and his greatness and his power, sometimes the things of this world seem pretty small in comparison to who he is. I'm going to have the musicians come if they would, and We're going to close with that song in the secret place. And Josh and Karen are going to join me. And Gary and Mary, could you help me out with prayer over here today? Starting off a new year. And often it's a time that we reflect upon the past year, right? I don't know if 2014 was a good year for you or a bad year. Probably 50-50 if we were to take a poll. But it's a time that we do some reflection, right? And as we begin a new year, and sometimes we do New Year's resolutions. And often we tackle things that are too big, you know. We make these big resolutions. We have no way that we're going to be able to live them out or follow through on them. So I haven't been reading my Bible, so I'm going to commit to reading 6 chapters a day. You know, some of you could maybe do that, but for a lot of you, you're setting yourself up for failure. If you haven't been reading the Bible daily, the plan that I've given you, one chapter a week, a day, and you're only doing that for 5 days out of the week. You get 2 days to reflect or catch up, however you want to say it, right? And I'm going to, you know, I haven't been praying, so I'm going to commit to 1 hour of prayer a day. Yeah, that'd be a great thing to do. But if you haven't been praying 5 minutes a day, then jumping to an hour is quite a bit. Start with 5 or 10 and work your way into it. And I think you'll find that time grows as you're spending time with Him. See, small things can make a big difference in your life. And if we take the time to devote to God, to find that quiet place, and I know sometimes when you have kids at home, we've been on that road. You're going from beginning of the day to the end of the day, and there's not a lot of quiet time. Right? Not a lot of quiet time. But see, Jesus was there too. But He still found that time to get away, to bow that knee, to spend time with the Father. And if Jesus thought it was important as the Son of God, boy, who are we to think that we can do life without spending time with God? If we spend time with God and make that part of our daily life, it'll not only will change us, it'll change the world around us. You know what? And it's going to transform us in ways that we never thought possible. Often we come to God and we want to change God or change His heart. We want Him to answer our prayer. And sometimes it's the process that's more important to God than answering our prayer. Does that make sense? The process of us coming before God, that's where He changes and transforms us. Small things, big difference. So I challenge you. I don't know how much prayer has been part of your life. If you're only praying when it works out and it's convenient, it's probably not enough. Prayer is one of those things that it just has to be part of our daily life. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. It's a little bit of human nature, I think. But as we do, God will change us. I'm going to have those, if you have a prayer need request this morning, we're going to have those up front here that I'll agree with in prayer with you. And if you want to make an altar where you're at, but we're going to close within the secret place. And I encourage you just to allow the Holy Spirit to take what we've touched upon this morning. How is God challenging you? It's probably different for each of you. What is God challenging you? So listen to the Spirit of His voice this morning. A still, small voice. What is God challenging you in? Where is He wanting to move you into? So would you do that this morning? Would you stand this morning? If you have a need, we'll agree with you in prayer.